good governance to triple BEE. Now, triple BEE compliance can be quite a frustration to many companies, and there are various misconceptions surrounding it. In many instances, advice is given which compromises the effectiveness of companies without providing any real benefit. Now, three of the five elements on the triple BEE scorecard are measured over a company's financial period. The effects thereof is that a company with a financial year end of the 28th of February 2019 needs to comply with the following elements: skills development, supplier and enterprise development, as well as socio-economic development. And in order to achieve the best possible score in respect of these elements, the necessary steps must be implemented before the end of the financial year. What does all of this mean? What are these elements that form part of the triple BEE scorecard? In fact, what does triple BEE compliance mean? What are the consequences? Well, I caught up with Tuna Erasmus from the National Employers Association of South Africa to chat about this.
The triple BEE code, so it's a broad-based black economic empowerment, and it refers basically to broad-based black economic empowerment, and you've got your amended code, which is a general DTI code that was gazetted in 2013, and most businesses will fall basically under the general DTI codes, but you've got sector charters also. For example, there's the tourism sector, there's the ICT sector, which is, stands for information, communication and technology. You've got the marketing, advertising and communication, in short MAC. You've got the transport sector charter. They actually still measured under the old codes. Previous codes, the new gazetted codes hasn't been the new codes hasn't been gazetted yet, and you've got the financial services sector. There's quite a few sector charters also for which there are specific the codes.
All right. Generally speaking, in terms of being compliant for triple BEE, Tina, what do companies need to do? What needs to be in place?
It totally depends on the size of the company. For example, and I'm just going to think, I'm going to use the general code as a referral point. As I said, there are sector charters, and the thresholds for certain sectors actually do differ and do vary, but most sector charters also have the same thresholds as the general DTI code. Mm. Small companies, and they refer to them as EMEs. It's a shorthand, but it stands for exempted micro enterprises. They have a turnover between 0 and 10 million per annum. And for those companies, you actually just need an affidavit. Nothing else is required, so you just need an affidavit for that. And if you have no black ownership, you automatically qualify as a level 4 BE supplier. And then you've got your qualifying small enterprises with a turnover between 10 and 50 million. And then you've got your generic entities with a turnover above 50 million. So if you have more than 51% black ownership and you all have a turnover of less than 50 million, you automatically qualify for a level 2 BE as a level 2 BE supplier. And you also just need an affidavit. And if you've got 100% black ownership and your turnover is below 50 million, you automatically qualify as a level 1 BE supplier.
Tuna, can you differentiate between these levels and what companies need to do to improve their level scores?
Certainly. Okay, so companies then with no black ownership with a turnover of above 10 million need to be measured on all five elements of the scorecard. And as I said, the general DTI codes have five elements, which is ownership, there's management control, you've got skills development, enterprise and supplier development, of which your procurement forms part, and then socioeconomic development. And each of these elements have a different weighting and have a different points that you actually can achieve for that. Also, just to mention perhaps, is for generic entities, they're also measured on these five elements: the scorecard for a qualifying small enterprise or a QSE, and a generic entity differ also a bit with regard to weightings and more things that the generic entity needs to comply with. There's also three priority elements, which is ownership, skills development and enterprise and supplier development. And what that basically means is for generic entities, they need to reach 40% sub minimum on each of the three priority elements, and it refers to something different on each of those elements. And for qualifying small enterprises, they need to reach the 40% sub minimum on ownership and one of the other two priority elements.
Smile 90.4 FM, the voice there of Tina Erasmus. She's from the National Employers Association of South Africa, just unpacking triple BEE for us this evening. Tina, why can it be a frustration to companies?
I think it can be a frustration to companies because it is time, effort, and also cost that's involved with regards to BEE. But we hope to make it easier for companies, and we take the approach to look at the company as a whole to try and solve what needs them to have. And okay, you need to do certain things to comply with your BEE scorecard and to achieve certain points, but we also try to make business sense for a company when we actually evaluate a company and look over, you know, at what's going on in the business itself. So okay, you need to do something for your BEE purposes, but let's see how we can do something that will make business sense for you as well.
Can they not integrate in terms of being triple BEE compliant and in that way also promoting the business?
Integrate in terms of working together with other businesses?
Yes, yes.
You can form joint ventures with other businesses, and that's more something that's actually used in the construction sector. So you can form a joint venture between two different businesses, and there needs to be a joint venture agreement. And how that's also measured for the construction sector, they look at the two scorecards of the two entities, and depending on what the split is in the joint venture agreement, then a combined JV scorecard is being done for those two businesses.
I see. Tina, what are some of the misconceptions around triple BEE?
I think one misconception is there is no law that requires any company to actually have a BEE certificate. But the companies are required, if they want to tender for any government contracts or for any sub-government contracts, that they actually do need a BEE certificate then. And I know the minimum entry level is usually regarded as a level 4 BEE certificate, but there's no law that actually requires companies to do to have a BEE certificate. And mostly also companies are required either by the customers or pressured by the customers to have a BEE certificate. So it's a whole chain reaction that's usually formed when clients are pressured to have a BEE certificate, because my supplier's BEE certificate influences my BEE certificate, and then again my BEE certificate influences my customer's BEE certificate. So that's the whole chain of BEE.
Is it important for companies to be triple BEE compliant?
Yes, definitely. As I said, if you're looking towards tendering for government projects, and also if you work with bigger companies, and especially corporate South Africa, you require businesses to have a BEE certificate. I know companies that's working with Sasol and Eskom, they do require you to have a BEE certificate, and then naturally also I have clients that does work for MTN, Vodacom, and Cell C, and they also require a certain level, BEE level of my clients.
What has been done to address fronting, Tuna?
Well, as you know, the BEE commissioner is there, and anyone that suspects fronting at any company can report their suspicions to the BEE commissioner. So, and there's also the BEE Act that was gazetted. So if anyone is suspected and found guilty of fronting, there's a 10-year prison sentence that can be handed down, or a 10 million fine.
You said that there's no law compelling companies to be triple BEE compliant. You mentioned the BEE Act. What does the Act stipulate?
So the Act is basically to regulate the BEE environment. And as I said, it actually gives teeth to the BEE code, and also to make people aware that if they are going to do fronting, then there are going to be legal consequences for them.
It sounds like companies could certainly benefit from the services of an organization like NIASA when trying to make sense around all of the codes, the various levels, the various sector compliances that are required.
Definitely. And also the part of NIASA that we are doing, we are focusing on the BEE consultancy to clients. So we try and address the client's needs and try to unpack BEE for them and to also make it easier for them to understand. And as I said, our approach is to look at what's going on in a business and try to make business sense while we advising on doing certain implementation to them to try and also, the decisions that they take to do to comply with BEE, that it also makes business sense for the business as a whole.
Tina, what's the importance of companies whose year end ends at the end of the month? What sort of level codes do they have to put in place?
They need to take action on skills development, on supply development, enterprise development, and socioeconomic development, because they have to do something on those elements in the financial period to have something to be measured on if they haven't done it through their financial period yet.
Tina Erasmus from NIASA. Thank you so much, Tina. Much appreciated.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, caught up with Tina earlier on this evening. If you do require further information, you can contact Tina, info@niasa.co.za, N-E-A-S-A, or niasa.co.za. They can be contactable telephonically too on 012-622-8988.